Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
First weekend in June, beautiful weather, and fishing will be firing on all cylinders, salt water and fresh. Hey, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. First weekend in June, June 5th and 6th. Salt water, fresh water, it is going to be happening this weekend. Now, on the salt water scene, we know the sea bass. That's been, epic, stellar, crazy, all that stuff. Eating the paint off the bottom of the boats, et cetera, ad infinitum. Fluke and touchy. Some good catches being made in the tidal rivers and back bays, some out front. And then some days, man, just a lockjaw happens. But put the effort in. Water temperature jumps a few more degrees along that bottom structure, and the fluke bite will be on, going full tilt boogie. The tuna, well, that water temperature dropped out there in the canyons by mid-range in canyons by, 10, 12 degrees. That shut off. Now, back inside, stripers along the sedge banks, along the ICW, and some along the beaches as well. Blues have been, where's the blues? Who's playing the blues? And some weak fish around on the freshwater front. Snakeheads, largemouths, crappies, yellow perch, brackish water, white perch. Everything is happening. Hey, coming up on our next segment, Captain Lou Van Berg and Miss Born to Get Light. Party boat do's and don'ts. He's going to be followed by Captain Pete Myers, runoff lures. Some nuances about jigging sea bass. You want bigger sea bass? Use the jig. Grab that cup. Grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. It is going to be a fishing kick-ass weekend.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM, South Jersey's talk station. Download Rack and Fin Radio as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Speaking about the catching now, sea bass has been off the charts. Fluke have been kind of, the hot days, hot as in catch days, and not so hot days, and damn near ice cold days. That's the weather, the bottom currents, what have you. But one thing we're seeing is that party boats are getting some good play now that some of the restrictions have been lifted. And if you play your cards right, if you listen to the mates, if you listen to the captains, if you watch your fellow Sharpies on the boat, you can score limits of not only sea bass, but fluke as well. On the party boats, not saying all the time, but again, I've seen stuff happening on party boats that sort of shake your head and say, one, how do the people do that? Two, how do the people not get run over? I mean, by just being so not paying attention. So joining us on the line right now, very special guest, one of the captains of the Miss Barnicot Light, that 90-foot sexy catamaran up there at 1801 Bayview Avenue in Barnicot Light. Fairly frequent guest on Rack and Fin Radio, and we can track him down. Captain Lou Van Bergen of the Miss Barnicot Light. We're going to talk some party boat do's and don'ts when it comes to fluking and sea bass. Hey, Captain Lou, glad to have you back on Rack and Fin, brother. How are you?
Good, Tom. How are you doing?
I'm talking to Captain Lou VB, man. I'm in some tall cotton because I know you guys have been catching some sea bass. And I heard from Captain Lenny some fluke, 23, 24, 25 inches. But, Lou, again, the main topic, I know you're jamming. But you see stuff on party boats, really, that, again, people try to learn. Some people think they know everything. Oh, I don't even like that. And you see them missing opportunities to catch fish. Maybe not keepers, but to get some action at least. Louis, you must have seen, I guess, in your years as a party boat captain, must have seen some wild things. Again, you yourself shake your head and say, how does this happen? I mean, am I right on that?
Yeah, no, we see everything from the Sharpies all the way down to the brand new fisherman that comes out. And some of the stuff you see is even from the Sharpies, you just sit down, you just shake your head. You're like, what the heck is going on?
Every once in a while, though, even the Sharpies will have a brain freeze. I've seen that on some some of the real hardcore boats, especially during the winter fishery for the sea bass. But you really up your odds. One, it's a great deal. You don't have a boat. You don't want to fish in the bank. You don't know how to work the jetties or work the beach or the back base. Party boat is the perfect alternative. Okay, but it's not just a matter of, sometimes with the sea bass, it's even crazy for me. It could be a drop in real dealio, but most times not. Most times you have to pay attention to your tackle, to the bait on the bottom, where that bait is rolling, where that bait is moving, and what better source of information than the mates, and even if you get a chance to come down, the captains, because they want you to catch fish, they want you to have a good time, and they want you to come back or tell friends about the experience so they'll come and fish on a party boat. But Lou, when you see some of the things that happen, have you noticed that people are immune to advice or receptive to advice. Well, what's your take?
Well, I would say the idea of advice is coming from the mates or the captain. You know, there's some people you can reach. And then, like, you know, there's some people you're never going to reach. The guy, and typically it is a guy who knows what he thinks he knows what he's doing. You kind of give him the lowdown. This is the way that we do it. Oh, this is the way I always do it. You know, so and so forth. And, you know, some of them you can't reach. The tourists that we get, they get the rental rods or, you know, a kid that's just starting out or, you know, even, you know, I hate to make it about the sexes, but the females, everyone on that side tends to listen a whole lot.
Right.
And, you know, when you talk to them and say, this is what you want to do, this is what you're going to feel, you know, you see the kids' eyes, you know, you see them looking at you, right. And you can tell their ears are on, and that pays off sometimes, you know, a lot of times for them. But there's so many things, like you said, you know, from, it starts with the tackle, and, you know, with our rental rods, we keep it simple. You know, we kind of adhere to the keep it simple, stupid principle, and, you know, we're just using a wide gap hook, a slider, and as little weight as we can, but I mean, you know, we're fishing in a big boat like we have, and you know, we're moving most of the time. So I mean, the lowest weight that we go to on our rentals is 8 ounces, which is a lot. Mm-hmm. But then there's days where you're flying and you're putting 12 on, and you're trying to, sure. You know, put extra sinkers on there if you can, and taping them together just to hold bottom. And that's tough for anybody, those types of days. But the tackle is probably one of the biggest things. You know, we all know, you walk into any tackle shop, you know, along the coast, and they're going to tell you, use this rig. And then you go up, you know, 5 miles up the road, and you're going to get told to use a different rig.
Right,
and,
right.
And there's times where that stuff works, but we adhere to the keep it simple, you know, scenario. But, you know, that's where it starts a lot of times. And, you know, just paying simple attention, you know, when our mates are pretty good, you know, we go through and we take a look and see, you know, if the leader gets kinked up, okay, well, we're going to give you a new rig. You know, we're going to change that because, right. You know, sometimes it does make a difference. And just paying attention to the little things, you know, can make a huge difference when it comes to your tackle. You know, we don't provide gulp, and we don't provide, you know, jigs and stuff like that, but we all know that works.
Sure.
And, you know, we get the Sharpies to come out and they'll put on a clinic sometimes, and other people are like, how come we don't do that? And I said, well, it's just, you know, you gotta walk before you can run.
Exactly, Lou. Yep.
You definitely can work your way up there, but, you know, and everything works a different day. And then there's that guy that catches on, the god awful looking rig, but he's reeled in a big six pounder, and you shake your head and walk away and go, okay, that's for the book. We'll put that in the book later.
Lou, if I can interrupt you a second, back to the youngsters and the women, especially listeners, it's open minds. These anglers have open minds, no preconceived notions. And Lou, I've seen it on your boat, I've seen it on other boats, that the novices with the rental outfits catch either, you know, one, two, maybe they're limited fish, and or win the pool. I've seen it many a time, Lou, and that's pretty refreshing to see. And you just smile to yourself and say, the kid or the lady listened. They listened to the mates, and they it pays off.
Yeah, no, it's definitely reassuring. You know, when you and for our purposes, you know, we see a kid that's really into it. You know, maybe has their own stuff, or maybe doesn't have their own stuff yet, and you can see the passion in their eyes. You know, and that's good because we all know that there's, you know, as the saying goes, less Xboxes, more tackle boxes would be a great thing right now. So
absolutely. Lou, I noticed on the Miss Barnegat Light, the bait you provide, that squid spearing, that's been time-honored, proven decade after decade after decade after decade. But you said you get the Sharpies on who want to do the bucktail or the jig head with the gulp. Now, that's an entirely different ball game. When you see someone that says, oh, man, what are they doing? What are they catching again? Walk before you run. Have you had is the scenario where the guy is pretty good with the, you know, dragging the bait, so to speak, and wants to progress to the bucktail, jig, and gulp, that your mates can coach him to how to do it correctly?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you know, the biggest thing, you know, the start with that is, you know, whether it's bait or whether it's the gulp is, you know, how do you rig it? You know, how do you put it on the hook? Because, you know, we're all used to, you know, we go around on the way out with a hook with a squid and a spearing on there through the eyes, and show them this is the way you want to do it.
Right.
And you know, you make your first drop, and you'll see people start reeling in fish, and you start reeling in baits to check or something like that, and you got the squid hooked right through the middle of the entire strip, and they put the fish on right through the middle, and you're like, that doesn't look natural down there, guys. This is the way you want to do it. And, you know, like we said, some people you can reach, some people, you know, they're just there for the day. They're just there for the good time.
Sure.
And they don't really care too much, but the gulp is obviously a little bit more,
a little more nuanced to get that down. But once you gotta
rig it the right way, right. You gotta have it on in the right way. And, you know, we're more than happy to help people out. We do get a lot of people that bring, that have been before, and they use the rental rods, and they'll bring a couple packages of gulp, and then, you know, ask, can you help me rig this up? Yep, no problem. We'll get it squared away. So we do see a little bit of that too sometimes.
Yeah, joining us on the line this morning is Captain Lou Van Berg and Miss Barnegat Light, that sexy 90-foot catamaran. I'll tell you, you have to stop. Listen, you pull in that big parking lot, you stop, you notice a Miss Barnegat Light. 1801 Bayview Avenue in Barnegat Light. Party boat do's and don'ts. Lou, we covered a fluke. Now about sea bass. Again, as I mentioned opening up, can be a drop in reel scenario. You put a piece of squid on there, you put a piece of clam there, drop it down. But Lou, I noticed, and our next guest is going to verify this and go into some of the tactics. Guys and gals who employ jigs, be it bucktails with a strip on there or the diamond jigs, either naked or with a tail on there, catch the bigger sea bass, it seems. What do you see people making mistakes on using jigs on the boat that you'd like to see corrected?
Well, I think the biggest problem is, you know, a lot of times people are used to throwing a jig out and then reeling it back to the boat, like for bluefish or striped bass.
There you go.
And, you know, with the sea bass, you know, you kind of, like you said, you know, you want to get into the zone where you think they're at, a little bit above the bottom maybe. Sometimes, depending if we see them, you know, high off the bottom, we'll let people know that. If we know we have a couple guys that are jigging, but, you know, just get that jig into that zone and then just kind of bounce it a little bit. You know, you're trying to imitate, you know, whether it be a squid or a sand eel or something, just kind of crawling off the bottom and coming up and down. You know, that's the biggest thing, you know, rather than reeling it for sure.
Okay, Lou, have you noticed the color or the size of the jig making that much of a difference, or whether it's a bucktail or whether it's a metal jig? If the sea bass are down there and hungry, they're going to grab it, correct?
I think they'll definitely grab it, but you'll see, you know, and I think this goes without saying, you know, when you're fishing with a lot of people on a party boat is, you know, one of your best friends is going to be observation. You know, take a look and see what other guys are doing. And, you know, if you're the only one doing it, then you're going to have to try to, you know, figure it out on your own, you know, fairly quickly if you can. But, you know, just really doesn't make too much of a difference. I think if they're there, like you said, if they're hungry, they're hungry. If they're not, then you got to maybe match the hatch, you know. And sometimes you'll see sea bass come up and they'll spit up sand eels.
Ooh,
and, you know, and that's the dead giveaway. Like, don't use the bucktail. The bucktail's not going to get you as much action. Probably you know, you want to switch over to the diamond jig. So.
Well, before I close it out, a question. The mates on your boat and other boats I've been on, I mean, these kids, and some aren't kids, some, you know, they really bust their asses, people. The tipping percentage, I mean, these kids really, you know, really give it their all. So tipping, listeners, is certainly advised. Then they'll clean your catch for a small fee. Lou, I've seen the kids, especially on your boat, and they really go to the nines, man.
No, it's, you know, they're there. And, I mean, I remember, you know, I still work deck, you know, in the fall. And, you know, striper fishing and tuna fishing. And, you know, you're there for, you know, because you love fishing. And you try to basically make someone else's day as enjoyable as possible. You know, we always try to make it, make the announcement that it's, you know, think about them just like you would a waiter or waitress.
Sure.
You know, if you got good service, you know, you're going to leave a tip of 15% to 20%, you know, and, you know, that's unfortunately that rarely happens on party boats, you know, most of the time. But, you know, if you have a good day, and even if it's not a day where you filled your cooler full or something like that, you know, you got to remember they're busting their pump all day long to basically, you know, make your trip as enjoyable as it could be. And it might not be, you know, just catching fish. It might also be learning about a fish, you know, like a sea robin and or a starfish that gets hooked or something like that, you know, with the kids. And, you know, whatever we can do to make your trip more enjoyable, you know, we always say just let us know, and it doesn't make a difference what trip it is. It's pretty much the main goal of the mates to do that.
Captain Lou, speaking of which, Miss Barnegat Light has listen, this is rare up and down the coast, an exceptional program. Lou, is it going to start in July, a restart? I know it was successful the past couple of years. Your eco tours on a Tuesday or Wednesday. What's the dealio with that?
Yeah, we do an eco tour on Tuesday afternoons and Thursday afternoons from 2 o'clock 2:30 to 4:30.
Mm-hmm.
It's a quick little 2-hour trip. I lead it. Lenny runs the boat, and I lead it. My off season, I'm a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I teach a little bit of everything, but marine biology is where my degree is.
Oh.
So we basically do a little bit of stuff in the bay, and we pull a crab trap or two. We'll go and take a look and take some water samples and do some water quality tests. We get everybody involved. You could be as involved as you want to be, or you can sit back and just relax and listen in as much as you want to. So it's really, really up to the person to choose what they want to do.
Captain,
but it's a unique trip.
Captain Lou said that for my benefit, people, because I'm the kind of person that likes to sit back and observe. Speaking of which, again, before I let you go, Van Bergen, the Sunset and Moonlight Tour schedule kicks off when? And the ultimate rum punch, people. I don't care if you're from Jamaica, Puerto Rico, wherever you have rum, your favorite rum, the best rum punch is on the Ms. Barnegat Light. When do those start, Lou?
We are starting this Saturday night. We have our first sunset cruise. And we're going to go every Saturday night this weekend and next weekend, just the Saturday nights. And then after that, on the 18th of June, we start every single night.
Okay, listeners, the Ms. Barnegat Light, fluke and sea bass, the fish, especially the fluke's getting better. The sea bass is hot. 1801 Bayview Avenue and Barnegat Light. Now, room for Lou, you said about capacity, about 80, 85 people. And listen, there's a big boat. There's plenty of room on there. Lou, give us a quick fishing report before you bug out.
This week, we've been catching a decent amount of sea bass. That's definitely been the predominant catch. A lot of throwback where we're fishing. The wrecks are slowly but surely getting worked over where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
You definitely get your opportunities to catch some real nice sea bass right now.
Yep.
And a handful of fluke here and there. You do get a couple every once in a while, but like I heard you say in the intro, it's really, fluke's about conditions. We got to get the water to warm up a little bit, but it's typical for this time of year.
I know, listen, it's a little tough right now. A week or two, Ms. Barnegat, you're going to be fluking on fire, Captain Lou. You take care. Best to Lenny and Karen and everybody. We'll see you next week.
All right, Tom.
See you. Yeah, go to MissBarnegatLight.com. Check it out. Up against a break. Coming up. Are we talking sea bass? Are we talking jigging sea bass? We shall see if we can get hold of the next guest. Grab that cup. Grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Yeah, man. His rum punch just, oof, look out.
So what is Talk With a Purpose? It's a lively, informative, number one rated talk show on Saturday morning. Hi, this is John DeMasi. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 9 a.m. till noon for Talk With a Purpose, heard right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5. And if you miss it on Saturday, we replay it on Sunday from 5 until 8 p.m. Don't miss Talk With a Purpose, Saturday and Sunday, right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5, South Jersey's talk station.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Here we go. Look out below. You're back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of June 5th and 6th. That was Captain Lou VB, Lou Van Bergen, Ms. Barnegat Light, party boat do's and don'ts. Let's just pay the fee, get on a party boat. It may take it 2 trips even. You'll learn, and you will always, always have a great chance of catching fish. Listen to the mates. Listen to the captain. Watch, as Captain Lou says. Observe. That's your best friend. Observe what other people are doing. And I tell you, and it's worth the trip, too, especially on the Ms. Barnegat Light. What a beautiful boat. Back when I was speaking to our next guest the other evening, where we're jamming and catching up, haven't talked to him in a while, I said, well, yeah, I have so-and-so coming on. He says, Captain Lou Van Bergen? Well, I've known him about 20 years. When I told Lou Van Bergen, he says, oh, man, you have Captain so-and-so coming on? I've known him for about 20 years. Fishing seems like a big industry, very small. The key players, everyone knows each other. And the one key player right now on the Rack and Fin line, very special guest, is Captain Pete Myers, president, owner, CEO, Runoff Lures Company, making a mark in the saltwater fishing biz for, what, going on 14 or 15 years. We're talking sea bass jigging, not just dropping it down, reeling up, dropping it down. Some tips and tricks increase your catch for the bigger sea bass, with one of the experts in here who was one of the pioneers with jigging for tog. Now everyone's on a boat. Oh, jigging for tog. Captain Pete Myers was doing it many, many, many years ago. Sorry, Captain Pete, I got too excited talking about you, buddy. Long time no see. How you doing?
Good, Tom. How are you, my friend?
Oh, man, great to talk to you again, Pete. Before we get going, how's that lovely family, brother?
Everybody's good. Kids are getting ready to go porgy fishing pretty soon this weekend. I hope it's going to be nice. When they're 4 and 6 years old, No better action than going for sea bass or porgies, you know?
Absolutely, Cap. Absolutely. Well,
yeah, the boat's presently in New York, so the sea bass is out for another month or so.
Yeah.
Porgy fishing it is.
Hey, nothing wrong with porgies, Pete. I don't taste as good as sea bass to me, but they're a great game fish. And Pete, where you are going to be, you got pie plate and hubcap sizes, man.
We do. And always in the early season, they're always bigger. Incidentally, we are catching some sea bass mixed in with them that we got to release and throw back.
Hey, but you got...
Yeah, it is what it is.
You got your advantage over us, Pete, on the tog dealio. So I guess we're even seeing that. Well, Pete, the reason I called the other night, I've been on some checking on some boats. Jigging for sea bass, you know, I do the reports for a bunch of papers and stuff. Jigging for sea bass consistently is catching the bigger sea bass, the knuckleheads, the big biscuits, so to speak.
Absolutely.
But it's not, Pete, I talked to some guy, Tommy P, that's BS, because I tried jigging, didn't get jack bleep or just got small ones. I said, were other guys, other gals catching bigger ones? Well, yeah, were they jigging? Yeah, well, what were they different? That jig's a jig, Pete. Nothing could be further from the truth. Pete, go into your design of your jigs. Listen, the bent sand eel jig from Runoff Lures, second to none in realism and action, and it's malleable. You can shape it. You can influence the action on it. And, Pete, you're smooth and you're hammered diamonds. I want to go to that bent sand eel first. Some sand eels are around. In the fall, your bent sand eel jig, forget it. You can't find it anywhere. It's sold out. But, Pete, that bent sand eel creation, what prompted you to come up with that? And how many years to perfect it the way it is now?
Oh, actually, it's a long story, but the short of it is very simple. We wanted something that swims, like most of my lures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we tweak all our lures before we cut the major production mold by testing them first and making prototypes. And most of my lures have a little bent to them, or they're a little weight forward, or a little weight design behind. And that's just to give the lure a better action. You know, we always make lures from the standpoint of a fisherman, being that I've been a boat captain for 1,000 years. So, you know, we basically put the fisherman first and the manufacturing deal later. It takes a little more time and a little bit more money to develop and to manufacture a good quality product, but that's what we're about. And, you know, with sea bass, you know, people that are jigging for those big sea bass, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, sea bass is a big, huge, invasive species. There's tons and tons of them. And the whole premise of jigging the sea bass is the littler fish won't get to the jig like the bigger fish. And that's the key to why you should jig for them. People decide to put bait on, don't put bait on. When I'm jigging, I just strictly jig. And the biggest mistake I see with people first trying to sea bass jig is, number one, they're using too big of a jig. I mean, most jigs should be between 1.5 ounces and 4 ounces max.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And as the summer grows near and the water temperatures warm up, you'll find a lot of sea bass that move inshore more. And when they move inshore more, you could go even lighter. And, you know, you could use anything from a bucktail to a diamond jig to, of course, the sand eels.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in essence, the reason that bigger fish eat the jigs is simply because the littler fish can't catch them as much. And it's a true story. And, you know, the other thing with these guys that put bait on it, you're defeating the purpose. You know, you'll catch fish with bait on them. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But you'll have a tendency to catch a lot of smaller ones. And what a lot of people don't realize also with the jig is you're spending more time in the target zone than having to fix bait from, you know, bottom dwellers chewing it up or throwing back little sea bass or porgies or whatever else.
Exactly.
Eating the bait. So you're spending more time rebaiting hooks and throwing them back in than jigging.
Well, Captain Pete, to the jigging. Again, you've perfected it. And listen, I've seen this man fish. He's a machine. But Pete, I know it's varying the cadence of the jigging. Some sweeps, some small staccato jigging. What, you know, so in other words, it's a trial and error method until you find out what the sea bass really want, what kind of motion, correct?
Well, yeah, I mean, here's the biggest mistake I see people making, besides having too big of a jig, is that they're jigging it way too fast. They're jigging it like there's a school of big bluefish around. It's a very slow, subtle jig for sea bass. You don't have to move it like crazy. You can just lift it up nice and slow like your arm length and drop it down. And after a little while, you know, you should reel it up about 10 feet and drop it back down slow, because they love that fluttering going down. And a lot of times they'll see it coming down and you'll get hits on the way down.
Right.
So to bring it up 10 feet and drop it back down if you're not doing anything after a few minutes is always good.
Okay.
And the other issue is, don't forget one thing about these sea bass. They got tails and they swim. what I mean by that is you could be catching them. You could be catching them till the cows come home, and then all of a sudden it goes dead. It's time to move, because they do move around quite frequently and quite quickly.
Listen, that's vintage Captain Pete Myers. Well, Pete, when do you decide? Okay, how long do you give it? Because I've seen. Okay, let's change the jig. Go to a smaller size, maybe go to a slightly larger size, or change the color. Say from a hammer to a smooth. Or a sand eel, from like the natural to a tan color. What parameters do you work with? And he said, I got to try something different.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I basically don't really go that way, because I think that when these fish, which is a big invasive species, they're very, very aggressive eating. And I'm more of a philosophy of, if you're not catching them steady, move the boat.
Okay.
Because I don't think the color makes a lot of difference. I mean, when you're on these fish, You could throw a Budweiser can down there and catch them. You know, and when they turn off because they got tails and they swam somewhere else.
Okay. Well, Captain Pete, again, the proper jigging, the lines. Oh, what's up with the kids there, man? They want to go fishing. They want to go fishing. These kids are fired up.
You found me.
Okay, well, Captain, you produce, I know you're a braided line aficionado. Your extreme braid. I'm still using Pete from several years ago. The stuff doesn't weaken. The stuff doesn't fade. It's absolutely devastatingly effective. I have it on spinning, and I have it on, you know, and my I'm an ambassador freak. I'm that old. My ambassador round reels. How long has Extreme Braid been around, Pete?
Well, we kind of got a little depressed on how expensive braid was. And when in the beginning, we didn't, you know, have the funds to go out and have a company produce us braid. So I'd say about 8-9 years ago, we made the big plunge and the big expense and had a company that we really liked, and they private label it for us. And I also changed a couple of specs. Like on my bigger size braid, you'll find that it's, you know, a little thicker than most national brands. And I did that because the majority of it is, it takes more abrasion. So when you're talking 50 or 65 pound test and you're fighting a big tuna fish, well, when that line rubs on the back of the boat, mine has a little more abrasion because of its diameter. And, you know, braid is so thin that it really doesn't make a hoot of difference. You could still get 900 yards on a reel, you know? And it's the same thing when we're fishing wrecks for sea bass and blackfish.
Yep.
You know, you're fishing wrecks and stuff that, you know, even with a 4 or 5 foot leader on, you know, your braid is still going to get touching a wreck or a rock pile or something like that. So, you know, once you get up to my 40 pound and up, it's a thicker braid and seems to last. And the other big thing about my braid, cost. You know, it's probably 20-25% less than most national brands.
Listeners, join us on the line, Captain Pete Myers, Roanoke Lure Company. His some tips and tricks, advice for catching bigger sea bass when you're jigging. Use it the right way. Pick the right jig. Okay, Captain Pete's Ben Sand Eel jigs, his Hammer Diamond jigs, and his Smooth Diamond jigs, and myriad other products. Go to runofflures.com and check it out. There's also a list, Pete, I understand, on your site of area dealers that carry your product, correct? You do not sell over the internet. You're strictly dealer-oriented. Am I right?
That's absolutely correct. And, you know, the reason for that, too, is that we love to see, you know, the end user and the fishermen support all your local shops. Those people have local knowledge where you can walk in and not just buy a lure, but get the information on where the fish is and weather conditions and stuff like that as well. So we're always about the shop, and that's why we've been so successful, because we support them in every way we can.
Okay, Captain Pete, have a great late spring and summer season. Again, best of the family. The kids are going porgy fishing, and knowing that they're Myers, they are going to drop the hammer on these scup. Captain Pete, you take care, man.
The six-year-old's pretty sharp already.
I expect no less, Myers. Come on, man. Look at the antecedents. We'll see you soon, Petey.
Hey, good, Tom. And don't forget to go out on your headboats, too. And to all my friends on the Barnegat Light, good luck and have a great season.
Okay, Captain Pete, talk to you soon, brother. Be good.
Take care. It's always a pleasure, my friend. Bye-bye.
up against the break. Grab that cup, grab that Rebel. Captain Pete Myers, Ron O'Flores. Check his Ben Sandiel jigs, people. I'm telling you, as I'm from 1.5 ounce to 3 ounces with a bucktail, 4, 6, 8, and 12 ounce plain. You can bend these things. They move the action. Unreal. It'll be a tiebreaker. Jig next to guys with the diamond jigs or the bucktails with these, especially when the Sandiels are around. Second to none. Okay, be right back. Rack and Fin. Yeah, man, hunting seasons. One day closer. One day closer to hunting seasons. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio, 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's number one talk station.
Fox News. I'm Jill Nato. California's ban on assault weapons struck down.
The ruling from federal judge Roger Benitez found the state's law banning so-called assault weapons unlawfully deprives law-abiding Californians of weapons commonly allowed by most other states. California's Governor Gavin Newsom calls the assault ban ruling a direct threat to public safety. Jack Callahan, Fox News.
A quadruple shooting overnight in Indianapolis. Police say two people are dead, two injured after gunfire broke out near a Boston market. While trying to save a teenager from drowning, police officer Emmanuel Familia in Worcester, Massachusetts, has died. Chief Stephen Sargent told a news conference,
"The Worcester Police Department has lost a brother, friend, and a partner. The city of Worcester has lost a hero."
The 14-year-old that he was trying to save also died. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. Today will be mostly sunny, breezy this afternoon, high 91. Mainly clear tonight, low 67. Mostly sunny tomorrow, Sunday's high, also 91. It'll be clear tomorrow night with a low of 67 again, and Monday, sunny to partly cloudy with a high of 89. These warmer temperatures heat up your car's interior quickly, so please make sure you have both your keys and your kids. I'm AccuWeather's Sally Sherman on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
We just had Lou Van Buren on, Captain Pete. Let's talk. Look at three, I call them Gulp's Foul Trio. Nuclear chicken, Cajun chicken, and the curry chicken. Trust me, these are catching flatties. Up the wazoo. Okay, as I mentioned before, we close out the last segment. Hunting season, one day closer. Well, the United Bow Hunters of New Jersey, man, getting a jump on it. You talk about one super active, hyperactivity group. Again, fighting for hunters' rights across the board. They're going to have a pig roast in a couple of weeks, June 19th. I'm thinking, when I talk to our next guest online, I said, John, man, I think you're going to be sold out if you're not sold out already. Now, Tom, we're still going to have some tickets available. It's going to be at the Garden State Archers up there at 110 Larison Road in Wrightstown. John's going to talk about a little bit. Also, an intriguing new program they have, Beyond Hunter Ed. Again, UBNJ is at the fore in getting education out to the prospective hunters. John, thanks for joining us on Rock and Fin. John Erndale, president.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for having me.
President UBNJ, among other. How many hats do you wear? Do you change heads or you change hats? How do you do it?
I'm the president now for this year.
Okay, John, I got the announcement on this pig roast. I said, had to give Erndale a call. Had to. This looks like a great event. I mean, you guys pretty much covered it all. You got music. You have kids' activities. You got some incredible eats going on, very reasonably priced. Some super auction and door prizes. Go into it, please.
Yeah, Tom. We have our big game dinner back in March. But again, with the seating restrictions this year because of COVID, we couldn't have it. So we decided to do a big pig roast, and we're going to have all the auction prizes and everything that we usually have at the dinner. Mm-hmm. And we put a little twist on it. You know, we're going to have targets set up. If anybody wants to come early, they can come shoot a 3D course. We're going to have the pig roast. We're going to have venison dishes. We're going to have side dishes for the kids. We're going to have the Genesis bows. They can pop balloons and win a prize.
Nice, nice.
Face painting for them. So it's going to be an all-inclusive family event.
And listen, you want to see a white man dance. Check Tom P. I understand you're going to have a DJ there. I have more moves than a nightcrawler, people. Let me tell you.
We're going to have music there for the whole day. So, if you feel like dancing, come out and dance.
Listeners, the UBNJ Pig Roast, June 19th, 3 p.m. until whenever it ends. It's going to be at the Garden State Archers, 110 Larison Road in Wrightstown. as Johnny said, fresh barbecued pig naturally. Venison dishes, sides, more desserts, a whole bit. Adults 30, youngsters 13 and under, $15. Loads of door prizes, auction. John, I don't know if you guys are going to do it as a door prize or as an auction. Go into that traditional setup that guy made. Mary, mother of God, it's gorgeous.
Tim, who owns Warpath Archery, he does a lot of traditional bows. He made us a custom bamboo-faced longbow. With 6-seater arrows to match. It's a beautiful handmade setup. It's got antler tips on it, and it's just incredible. We haven't decided how we're going to put it all out there yet. Might be a door prize. Who knows? Maybe we'll shock everybody and throw it up there for a door prize. Some lucky person will walk away with it. But it is actually a beautiful work of art, and we got a lot of prizes rolling in. Compound bows. Tim from Warpath also made a gorgeous knife, made out of, elk, antler handle. And, it's just going to be a great day.
Listeners, for tickets, go to the website, ubnj.org, correct, John?
That is correct.
Or you can get them by mail, P.O. Box 57, Spotswood, New Jersey, 08884. John, I'm just thinking, now, listen, you get there early, you can shoot. How many targets are out there, John? You have a walkthrough 3D course, correct?
Yeah, we're probably going to put out 15 or 20.
Nice. That's that. But listen, talk about, building up an appetite and doing that. So you have a lot of opportunities out there, a lot of fun. John, I'm sure you're going to be discussing business. So what are you seeing? What are you hearing? Not to sandbag it, but on the bear hunt, on anti, activities, anything coming down the pipe to you guys?
I know that our northern reps are going to attend a counter protest. The bear hunt people are having a ban the bear hunt protest up in North Jersey this weekend.
Don't tell me, Mike Bush. Oh my God.
Oh yeah, Mike will be out there. Of course, he's leading. He leads the charge for us up there. We haven't heard much past that as far as whether the hunt's going to be on or not. I know there were some changes. They took it out of Fish and Wildlife's hands, the bear management plan, and put it under DEP. So I don't know what that's going to hold for the future of the bear hunt. But right now, it's been very quiet about it. I will say that.
Sure. Okay, John, let's get to, again, the future hunters. Beyond Hunter Ed, UBNJ, very progressive program coming up. How long was this in the making? And explain the program. We have a couple of minutes. Go.
Yeah, this has been in the works for probably about 5 years.
Wow.
Hunter Ed is all volunteer. They really can't go into it deeply at the Hunter Ed classes. They're kind of getting the people in and out, passing them. And we found working with the R3 program through Fish and Wildlife that 80% of the hunters this year that pass Hunter Ed and get their license will not purchase a license next year. And a lot of that is frustration. They don't know where to hunt. They don't know how to scout properly. So what we've done is we've collectively come up with a class, and we're going to do our first one July 18th this year. We're going to take 30 new hunters, students, break them into groups, and we're going to cover everything from scouting public land, how to find a spot to hunt, proper tree stand placement. We're going to have the dog trackers there to go over if they do hit something and it's marginal, what to do, what not to do, to kind of give them a better footing going forward as hunters. And we're also going to talk ethics because, listen, the rate of camera thefts and tree stand thefts and, coming in and finding someone sitting in his stand on public land, we're going to kind of incorporate the ethics into that too. So to try to make a better hunter going forward.
John, that's critical because maybe just from my corner, maybe it's all the TV shows, he'll be a shooter in 3 years, 4 years, the quest for trophies, the saturation point with it. John, I've been around, like I said, I taught Jesus how to use a cast net. That's how long I've been around. But I never noticed that until probably, with the theft and stuff, probably the past 5 or 6 years where it really intensified. What's your take on this? Is society that screwed up? I mean, even in the hunter ranks, but you can't call them true hunters. They're scumbags.
Well, I suspect a lot of the camera theft is from antis.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think a true hunter would steal from.
John. Well, John, again, we're back here. Listen, I had a little bit of a glitch there on my end, of course. But you know, you say the antis, and I agree with you 100% on that. However, you know, talking to guys and seeing, hey, man, that's my piece of property. I've been scouting that for this. And where does this butthole come in there and take them? I've seen that, John. I've listened to it. I've experienced it. So it is, I'm not going to sugarcoat anything, people. Sometimes we're our own worst enemies. So
absolutely. Yeah. I agree 100%.
Yeah. So again, so the beyond Hunter Ed going into the ethics, John, is absolutely, to me, this is critical, if not more so than learning how to scout, trailing the deer, et cetera. Don't you think?
Oh, I think the ethics, and also we're going to focus on belonging to your state organizations, how important it is. And mm-hmm. I think that's the most important part of this whole class.
Oh yeah. This is UBNJ, New Jersey Outdoor Alliance, Federation of Sportsmen's Clubs. All important. Get involved. Doesn't cost that much money, and get involved. We need numbers. We need money because the antis are loaded. Well, John, you said 7/18. Book him for the show for the 10th. July 10th, you're on here, Ernie. You can't escape unless you're sold out. Let me know a week before that if you still have space available. Again, you're keeping it to 30 hunters, two groups of 15, and go over one more time what you're going to be covering.
We're going to cover everything. You know, like I said, the big thing is going to be ethics. It's going to be scouting, looking for a spot on public land, tracking, you know, basically everything to get a new hunter going in the right direction.
Listen, John, sounds great. Again, 5 years in the making. I'm sure it's going to be, I'm telling you, Erndl, next year, 2022, you're going to have to expand it. You're going to have 60 people. Then you're going to have 90 people. This thing's going to get legs of its own. And I hope so.
Well, you know what? If it gets that big, we can always, you know, expand to a couple dates throughout the summer.
Beautiful. We're speaking with John Erndl, President, United Bow Hunters in New Jersey. Check it out. June 19th from 3 p.m. till who knows when. It's the UBNJ Pig Roast at Garden State Archers, 110 Larison Road in Wrightstown. Fresh barbecued hog. Oh, man, that's making me wiggle in my chair. Again, venison dishes, sides, more. Adults 30, youngsters under 13 or 13 and under $15. Loads of door prizes, auction items. Some eye-popping stuff here, and there's going to be music. It's time to be dance, baby. And kids' activities, face painting, as John said. And there's a chance. Get there early. Get there noon. John, what do you think, noon, 1 o'clock to walk the course and fling some arrows?
Yep, noon, 1 o'clock. That's fine. You know, whenever they show up, if they want to go out on the course, they can just go out and have some fun.
There you go. Listen, there's tickets at ubnj.org or by mail, P.O. Box 57, Spotswood, New Jersey, 08884. John, great job to UBNJ. Keep kicking ass, brother.
Thanks. I appreciate you having me on, brother.
Take care, man. Have a good weekend.
All right. You too, Tom. Hey,
John Erndl, UBNJ. They've been at the forum again with the Federation, and you know, 2007 is what launched the New Jersey Outdoor Alliance when they got Panner and Karcher kicked ass out of the Assembly and the Senate when they wanted to change the makeup of the Fish and Game Council. Hey, man, up against a break. Coming back. Hopefully, we have some fish reports. See what's happening. Rack and Fin Radio.
If you're wondering what to do with your money in these unusual economic times, or if you have questions about retirement planning, IRAs, 401ks, or taxes, then listen to The Heart of Your Money, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG, featuring author and financial expert Joe Yakovich. The Heart of Your Money will focus on you, your family, and your financial portfolio. The Heart of Your Money with Joe Yakovich, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG, Talk Radio 95.5.
The weather is getting warmer, and now it's time for Gentilini Motors' 45th Annual Car and Truck Show on Saturday, June 5th, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. We're very excited to be back this year to host this great event once again. We've taken precautions to ensure a safe event, and we expect everyone to respect social distancing guidelines when visiting so everyone can enjoy the show. It's an all-American celebration with Don Gentilini on the grill, vintage cars and trucks from all eras, car show specials, and fun for the whole family. At Gentilini Motors, we've built a reputation for taking care of our community and treating customers like family for over 65 years with the best deals, real value, and no empty promises. So come enjoy the show on Saturday, June 5th at 500 John S. Penn Boulevard next to the airport in Woodbine, New Jersey. We're just a short drive from anywhere.
Just a short drive from anywhere. Gentilini Family Motors.
Do you have
download Rack and Fin Radio as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, back for our final segment, Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom. I love that sixth turn of the calendar page. One day closer to hunting season, but still plenty of fishing going on. Very special guest right now, known Bobby Ford. Let's see, going on 20-something years. Captain Bob Cope, Full Ahead Sport Fishing, right there, based in Utch's Marina, down here in Cape May. I talked to Bobby the other night. Tom P, man, that drum bite is still on. The water turned cold. The drum are still in Delaware Bay in some significant numbers and size. That Copey, got to come on, Rack and Fin, give us a Druminator update. Captain Bobby, what's happening with the drum? So,
they're going nowhere, Tom. The water's still cold in the ocean. They will not leave the bay. Bay water's back up to around 64, 65 now. They're going to bite for a while yet. They're not going to go anywhere.
Now, listen, add some ligature to this report. I'll never forget it. With Joe, shout out to Joe Kennedy, wherever you are. He was the Suffolk rep at the time. And Captain Cope says, come on, man, let's go. Let's give it a last shot at drum. I said, Copey, not for anything. It's almost Father's Day. He said, get your ass on the boat with Kennedy. Joe comes down from somewhere in Somerset County. I come flying down. Cope, I don't know if you remember that day. Epic, was it epic, stellar, unbelievable, ball breaking, balls to the wall. Listen, drum fishing.
Oh, I remember that day.
What do we have, about 25 fish? What was that?
You didn't want to go. You thought it was going to be too rough. I remember that day.
Okay, he had to say that. Because Copey has seen me, what's the term? Chunder like a Viking when the waves are at least 1 foot. But so, Bob, we have a viable drum bite now. You think the next couple of weeks at least?
The biggest problem right now, Tom, is bait. If you can get bait, they're there. They're catching them every night. You know, clams are hard to come by, but the fish are here. They're going nowhere for a couple of weeks, I don't believe yet.
Bob, as the price of clams is out of control, what about the price of crabs? I mean, I know guys use the blue claws and some guys using calicos. What's the dealio? What are you hearing?
Oh, the crabs definitely worked. They're hard to get to. They've become very pricey now that they figured out that these guys all want them for bait. But, mm-hmm. You know, you get what you get, you pay for it, and you go fishing. Simple as that.
Cope, name some spots where a guy or girl has a good chance of tackling one of these veal chops of the bay. Go.
Anywhere close along on the Jersey Shore. You don't have to go far. You can go all the way to Tussie's if you want, but you can stay in Bay Shore Channel and catch them up and down along that shoal there on the channel on the west side. In the deep, in the 20, 22 feet of water, and there's fish everywhere, Tom. They're up and down. They're in that cold water. They're going to stay there. Dogfish have subsided again now, so just go fishing.
Cope, what sizes are you hearing?
A lot more big fish are showing up now. Early on, it was a lot of 25 to 40-pound fish. Now there's a lot of fish in the 60-pound range in a mix.
Cope, any chance, in your opinion, now you've been beating the drums now for what, going on 25, 26, 27 years. The guy that caught that state record back, was that 2005 or 6 or 9, whatever, 100-plus pounds, and it lost a couple of pounds, as I'm sure, but, you know, dehydration. Think fish like that are still around, Cope? Because I know the pressure of popularity of black drum fishing has skyrocketed.
It's the pressure's now on the downside again, Tom.
But okay.
Did catch one, I guess I want to say last Thursday, pushing 80. But you don't see many of those really, really big fish anymore.
Wow. Yeah, I guess that's one of the downfalls of the popularity. Everything gets out, and then they take a lot out of the population. Captain Bob Cope, thanks for the report. Bob Cope, listeners, Full Ahead Sport Fishing. I understand you're putting a beat down on a sea bass, Cope.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Let me tell you that. It's pretty good. It's a nice change because it's multiple bites.
This is true. Oh, Cap, one thing. Listen, want you to mention that when Captain Cope says they are close. Bob, I just remember, it seems that we're out of the canal, and we're from Utch's, we're out of the canal, and we're fishing with anywhere from 5 to 15 minutes. Clams are out, lines are out, and then all hell breaks loose. So listen, at this time of year, it is, as Captain Cope says, a close bite. No need, you don't have to go to Slaughter Beach all the way across the freaking bay. Everything is right here now, Bob. So listen, this couple of weeks, prime time, man. Prime time, Bob.
Go. You get bait, go. It's there to catch.
Okay, Cope, you best of you, man. Hopefully you see you this summer.
All right, Tommy. It's good talking to you, man.
Take care, man. See ya.
Here.
Yeah, Captain Bobby Cope getting it done. Again, based at Utch's Marina there in Cape May. And join us right now, special guest on the Rack and Fin line for now. Hopefully a weekly report is Dave Masterson. tackle shop manager at Utch's Marina there in Cape May. Dave, fishing around, fish biting, fish banging. What's the dealio?
Yeah, they're still catching drum in the bay.
Yep.
You know, the past couple of days, the weather hasn't been perfect, but, you know, there were a couple guys that slipped out.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely catching the drum. Mostly, from what I'm hearing, is on the lower end of the 20-foot slough, typically on the west side.
Nice.
There's also some weak fish being caught.
Hold it, stop right there. Do you have my notes in front of you? How the hell did you call that one? Jesus.
The weak fish?
Yeah, I was just about to say, Dave, what about the weakies? Go, man, sorry about that.
That's all right. You know, I've got some friends that like to target weak fish early in the season, and, you know, they're catching them around the jetties and also in around the sod banks. Some of the guys are using some real light bucktails and with some artificials, using finesse or a pink grub.
There you go. Yep.
But very light tackle, very light leader. Which is important.
Now,
yes.
Dave, any size to the weak fish? I don't know, they're 13-inch or keeper minimum. Anything you measure in pounds, like 2, 3, 4 pounders kicking around?
Well, one gentleman in particular, a friend of mine, he's had 23-inch, 24-inch. So he's catching some nice ones.
Nice.
Anywhere between 20 and 24-inch. So.
Dave, what's the situation with the fluke, a.k.a. summer flounder? What's happening down Cape May Way, bro?
Well, there's some boats that are drifting in the back bays and, you know, along the intercoastal, along the side banks, catching them in the flats. And, you know, especially once the tide's starting to turn around and run out.
There you go.
Again, light tackle from what guys are telling me. But they're catching some fatties, you know, up along the intercoastal.
Nice.
Along the side banks.
Dave, you hearing anything up in Delaware Bay? Listen, Delaware Bay, the limit's 3 at 17 inches. You have a 1-inch break. Any of your customers hitting up in the bay, Dave?
I haven't heard anyone fishing for flounder in the bay yet. You know, a lot of the boaters are targeting drum at this point.
Drum, right, yeah.
And, you know, running offshore for sea bass. So I don't think a whole lot of people have been targeting flounder yet, but I think it's going to, you know, get pretty hot soon.
Yeah, since that water jumps a couple of degrees. Dave, before I let you go, any word on stripers?
Well, they're still catching them along the beachfront.
No,
and
gotta be kidding
me. Yeah.
Oh,
you know, I think the guys that are doing that are the, you know, typical striper fishermen that are, you know, are hard knocks. You know, they're out there early in the morning catching that first light, and you know, the guys are, yeah, they're catching some big ones, you know, throwbacks naturally, because you can't keep anything above 37 inch, but
right. They're
catching some nice ones. And even along the jetties, you know, like Cape May Inlet. There's been some caught, and there's some resident bass in there. They're always there, but, you know, typically they're smaller.
Okay, Dave. Well, Dave, before I let you go, we're speaking with Dave Masson, Utch's Marina there, route, 109 in Cape May. Source of everything right there. You need to fish the Cape waters, back bay, intercoastal water, out front. Well, Dave, before I let you go, Captain Cope mentioned that clams are at an extreme premium. Do you have clams in stock for the drum?
Yes, we do. We still have bushels. We also sell them at half bushel as well. And we have a 5-pound clam, 5-pound frozen clam, you know, if you didn't want to take a bushel or a half bushel. But yes, we do have clam available. It looks like it's going to be a good weekend. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Everything's pointing to a rod-bending, ball-busting weekend, man. It's going to be great.
I think so. Yeah, the weather looks good. The winds look like they're going to be down. So this might be the last run on drum for most guys, I think.
So see. Okay, Dave, we'll see you guys this week. You take care, man.
All right, Tom,
Before I go, give that website and phone number, man. Go.
Call Utch's Marina. Utch's Marina is 609-884-2051. And check us out also on the web, capemayharbor.com.
Okay, we will see you next week, man. Take care.
All right, Tom, you too. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Bye.
That'll do it for this week on Rack and Fin Radio. Get out and enjoy beautiful weather. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders, and God bless law enforcement. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio.
95.5 FM.